Amen. Well, some of our intentions are good, and we start out in one way, and the next thing you know, God has this way, and that's the best way. Can you say amen? Well, again, it's an honor. It always is. I guess I'll get used to this. Probably not. But I could have a tremendous week. But if it's on the calendar that we're coming here, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm tired. Things are going down. But when I hit that tunnel, it's over. Come up the other side of that spirit of refreshing. And it's not the fish and it's not the ducks. Of course, they play a part. Bless the Lord. But it's the spirit of the area that's prevalent out of the people of God. And you really don't know what you do. I know we've said this over the years, and we'll continue to say it, particularly through Koinonia. But really, I remember having come under the very first time, and the Lord whispered something to me. And he said, they've isolated themselves, and they're nowhere near their northern neighbor. And I knew right then he was talking about New Orleans, the spirit of New Orleans. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we look at ourselves as grasshoppers. And that prevailing spirit can be counterproductive in the things of God. And so through the years, obviously, he's elevated you in the sight of men. And people all over this country particularly, and now some parts of the world know of you, and are recipients, as we are, of the grace of God that accompanies you. So when we come, it's just an appointment on the calendar. It's not just a duck hunt. It's not just a fishing trip. It's an experience with God. And I want you to know that. And, we can make all kinds of spiritual statements and stuff, but this is just straight talking to you. Because what happens when we leave here, we're changed every time. So I want you to know how much you mean to us and just by being who you are. And the Lord ministered to us last night concerning the family, and you are that, the family of God. Father, we thank you again for the honor and the privilege standing with our family here in Burris, Louisiana, where you sent your word, your love, your compassion, where you've called the people out of the world and made a name for yourself through, where you continue to do just that. So we take it upon ourselves, not lightly, having been appointed for this time and hour to share what thus said the Lord. And having done so, we take this hallowed pulpit, this forum of truth, this arena of faith, to speak just what you want spoken. We leave our sensibilities on the side, and we lean heavily into the things of the Holy Ghost. Now, great Heavenly Father, stretch forth thine hand to heal. That signs, name, no rebash, ketelemel, umasha, and wonders may be granted. In that marvelous name of the Lord Jesus, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for it. In that wonderful name, hallelujah, and amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, we're talking and ministering out of the Spirit of God's bounty of a subject that's not unfamiliar in any way, form, or foreign fashion, called healing. What it is, what it's not, how we walk in it, and every one of us have need of it. There's nobody here that's immune to anything that's on this creeping earth. And the immunity, you know, doesn't, just think about that. Immune means that you don't even have the potential for anything to affect you. Nothing at all. No disease of any kind. But I say not. I say that we are just as susceptible to anything that anybody else can get. But we have a trump card. Somebody shout amen here. We got a covenant with a God who said he doesn't want us burdened with that. Now, we can either walk in that covenant and maximize it, or to some degree even, I think we all do, walk in it. And then we lapse from time to time and find ourselves not walking in the benefits of God. Anybody ever been there? All right, then. Let's go to Exodus, if you will, chapter 15. Look at a couple of things here. And I really got back last night and sat in the, actually on the bed with the Bible and just went through some things. And this morning I got up and heard some other things. And so we just kind of put some things in here that, of course, you don't know it. You thought that came when I got here, but it doesn't matter because we're seeing some things that I hadn't even seen yesterday. Isn't that right? All right. Verse number, we'll begin here reading verse number 26. Exodus 15 and 26. Well, let's back up. We want to start on a conjunction. Another conjunction in 25. Another conjunction in 20. Go to 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have put or brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now let's put it into perspective. That "put" and "brought" are all permissive or allowed, not designed and given to. Put and or brought on are all not the causative sense, but the allowance or the permission sense. And you think you can be absorbed from that, or absolved from that, is that the very same thing that some of these people had in those days, some people have today. And the group that we're talking about have today are the group that he said to, "I'm the God that healeth thee." And so we can allow and permit things to come upon us that God doesn't want us to walk in. Can you say amen? And we can do it out of ignorance. And this particular one here is based upon obedience. If thou will. There's a contingency factor there. And so there's a foundation that allows or opens the door for these things to come in and attack our physical body. Covenant or not, if you neglect, disallow, walk away from the principles that govern our maintaining or walking in divine health that we've received, you've just put, or you've just brought, or you've just allowed. Now, y'all will get happy in a minute. It ain't this time to get happy right now, but I'm telling you right now. It is, I have allowed things. I have brought things on myself. Others have brought things upon me involuntarily. I mean, I didn't allow that. I mean, of course, I wasn't walking in the covenant. I remember when I was 19 and 65, I was in the Marine Corps. And I was in boot camp, and we were out marching and the whole bit. I was a squad leader. And one of the principal things as a Marine is that you anticipate the command and you get ready to do it. And so, and you don't question the command, you just do it. And so we're out there marching, and for some reason, you know, somebody had messed up, and these are competitions. On the day that you graduate, you're going to be in competition, so they want to always win. And so we were a pretty good marching group, but what happened was we just made some bad mistakes that day. I didn't, but somebody did. And the whole group was going to be punished for it. So we did sit-ups, and we did squat, and he got madder and madder. It was a Corporal Clark, I'll never forget him. He had a lisp. And you know, everybody, you're just big Marines calling, grab, he go, "Eep, eep, eep, eep." And people start snickering and laughing. Man, he got mad. He got mad that night. He said, Column of fowls from the right. And so the fourth squad leader left. Third squad leader, that's me, I left. And all of them, we finally got in and he called us all back together. And we're marching, finally, as a unit. And we keep going. And it's about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the wintertime. And we're heading. And he never gave any command to go left or go right. We just kept And there's nothing before us but the Pacific Ocean. I'm thinking he's going to change this in a minute. And you just keep on marching. And so, you know, I'm squad leader. I'm on the front row. I mean, I'm up in front. You know, four of us. I mean, it's water coming up and it's cold. And finally, we get up about here, and those guys about three quarters back never touched it. But up us up front, so he's punishing the leaders. And he finally, oh, about face. Well, that next day, I'm a coughing. And 2 days later, I mean, I'm a hacking. And three or four or five of us end up in the infirmary. Now, I didn't bring that upon myself. I want you to see the point I'm making. You see, I did what I was told to do, but it was counterproductive to my health. Man, sometimes you're told to do things that are counterproductive to what God's given you in your covenant. And that is not your fault. Don't take it as fault. But it's still a mistake, and you still suffer. Anybody been there other than me? Now, what I had to do was watch my squad graduate 2 weeks before I did. That was hard to see them walk by, and I'm still in boot camp. But that was the penalty for somebody else's mistake. But I bore it. Are you listening to me? Yet, my obedience is in my control. What I elect to do, I can and will do, and I will follow him. And I will follow his statutes that he says. And I will be obedient to what he said for me to do. And you think that's the way you've always been? Well, that's always, I always intended that. You shot me down, I'm preaching good early, amen? In other words, you always intend to do the right thing. But the follow through is what's necessary. Somebody shout amen here. Now, let's go back over these things we talked about last night. These three words, despair, distress, and stress. They're health related words. Despair, to be overcome with feelings of futility, defeat, and lack of hope. Distress, a state of physical, mental suffering, acute physical discomfort. Stress, an applied force or system of forces to deform or strain a body. I'll never forget many, many years ago. I mean, I was trying to find what I wanted to do career-wise, and I was going to go into the travel industry, and I was going to a school in Los Angeles. And about halfway through that school, I knew I didn't want to do it. But a part of that was, it was the airline travel agency. And we went through all kinds of nonsense and nothing to do with what I was going to eventually do. But they showed us one time to produce a mindset of comfort and to produce an attitude of safety if you're on an aircraft. You ever been on there, you look out those wings and just kind of just doing this? You're thinking, oh, boy, it looks kind of flimsy. never thought of that, huh? I'm telling you, that's just all aluminum. You're thinking, man, this looks kind of flimsy. I mean, you look at me going 600 miles an hour in the force, you know, and it's just flopping. Well, they did a stress test on the wings. They put cables on each wing, and they start drawing them toward each other to the top on a regular, I think like DC-10 or DC-8 or something. And I'm looking at this stuff. We're sitting there looking at it, and those wings were bending. And I'm thinking, this is going to pop in a minute, bending. They nearly touched. And finally, pow, it broke. That gives me a lot of confidence then. If they're doing just this, they ain't going nowhere. But at some point, that strain, that stress, it's called a stress test. It's a point of tensile strength giving up. And your body can go through the very same thing. Are you listening to me? And so we have to keep stress out of our lives so that we're not under that strain, which now when other parts of our body starts reacting to the strain, and the next thing you know, we've got something called a dis-ease. Can you say amen here? Well then, where do we say that disease particularly in America came from? Heart disease. 1890s, introduced them, I say actually Coca-Cola, but really it was refined sugar, refined flour. And so our dietary issues have a lot to do with it. We're talking about what we can do. Not what the doctor said, but what we can do. Now, but here's our problem. We are Louisianally challenged diet-wise. Don't know where you're from, but where I'm from, that's us. My mom used to get up in the morning, I kid you not, two things happened. She'd put on the coffee and the rice. We don't know what we're going to have, but it's going to be with rice. Every day. Not every now and then. I got to California, you know, people said, rice, think, where's the rice? Rice, we don't use, you don't use rice? What's wrong with you, you know? And so, you know, you got a steady diet of just refined stuff. Now, you have to change your mindset being from here, and it's hard to do, is it not? Yeah. Yeah. Or everybody, you just eat just right, don't you? I saw something the other day on the internet, I had to laugh at myself. Somebody posted something with some weird-looking animal, said, what would you do if you came upon this in the woods? I said, I don't even know the place. I said, shoot it and fry it. Glory to God, see what it tastes like. I'm from Louisiana, amen? If it walks, if it's got fur and feathers, it's apt to die, amen? And be tried. No, we got to watch what we eat. But that's what we do, watch it and eat it. With no concern at all as to what's going to do. Well, I've changed those things over the years. And over recent years. And, you know, our fried foods, particularly my wife, I'll put it on her, she's not here, we're not going to give her the tape, amen? But I mean, she'll fry something in a minute. Or used to, anyway. Let's see what it's like, fry it. But I noticed that we haven't done that a whole lot. We still do it, but we do it, every now and then. You know, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with fried food if you don't have a steady diet of it. Well, I'm talking in a bad, I'm in a, that's like being an Alabama fan in Louisiana right now. I felt that. No, we can do something about it. I said, we can do something about it. Enjoy it. Every now and then, it'd be better. Can you say amen? All right, now, so we'll get off of the diet stuff because I got to come back down here to Koinonia and I'm going to be eating no lettuce. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love the Lord. Now, we can't do all that. We can't do that much of a review. So just look at that and we'll kind of get the tape from last night. I've tried not to, but it got away from us a little bit. Psalm 67, 1 and 2, we looked at that. He's talked about his manner and his method being his saving health. Saving health. And that word is the same word, Yeshua, not the same name, Yahweh, but it's the same name. It means a total deliverance. It means victory. It means welfare. It means help. And it means deliverance. So your salvation is inclusive of, but not limited to, just being born again. It starts with the new birth. And he wants you completely whole. That's where I want to be. Yesterday, you know, just be honest here. The day before yesterday, we had done an evening hunt. And the white boat came to get us. And we had shot all the stuff, because I was getting up the walking out and getting the decoys. And, you know, when I get down here, try to keep me from doing stuff, you know. Jack, oh, I got this, I got nah, I'll go get. So I'm out to get them the decoys, put him in the boat, and all the other hunters are now in. And so one young man, he's from somewhere, I said, can I give you a hand, sir? I said, wait a minute, you know. Another guy said, can I give you a hand, sir, you know, to get up in the boat. And so all their backs were turned by the time I got there. So I just grabbed the rail and swung on up there. You know, just, and Brother Paul said, Brother Paul says, my, you're agile. I said, excuse me? Because they expect you. They expect you to be decrepit. God, can I get a hand? But there's something inside of me, glory to God. It's the energy of God. I want to look like and feel like I'm supposed to feel at 71. We're not supposed to be. Listen, when I was a kid, you looked at a 50-year-old. I mean, God, oh, man, they're in trouble. And I remember Miss Minerva. She was was a midwife in our town. I thought she probably was 175 years old, you know? But Miss Minerva was in her 50s because Miss Edith Joan left next to her told me one day, she just turned 50. I thought, ooh, 50. Because she had the rock already. Are you listening to me? She had the rock, or she had all the signs of, you know, let's just creep along. No, I swung up in that boat. I'm going to swing up in the next year. I guess. That's it. Amen. You think it, you just bought it. If you age in the mind, you age in the body. If you, 23:7 of Proverbs, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Again, no condemnation. Had a physical last year. Now watch this. This is where the medical industry sees you. They look at your chronological age. Don't you dare get on condemnation if it's not you. And they look and ask, and if well, how many medications are you on? They assume. God, man, they assume you're medicated. Are you listening to me? And to their astonishment, you're not on any medications? What's wrong with you? Nothing. Get out of this chute, this medicinal chute. Because it's prescribed doesn't mean you're supposed to take it. Now you're saying, well, don't be disobedient to the doctor. No, what I'm saying is that you do some research, see if you can do without it. Can you say amen here? And if you can't, well, we'll just get on until you say, I'm getting off of this before long. Take it until you need it. No more. Somebody shout him anymore. We ain't supposed to preach this morning, Joseph. I'm trying not to. All right. Now, Psalm 68:19, he loaded us up with benefits daily. How often? Daily. How often? Daily. We loaded up with benefits. What the Psalms 103? What are some of those benefits? We had isolated two. Forgiveth all our iniquities and healeth some of our diseases. No, all. What's left after all? Nothing. Well, if he's the name that we sang about, if he's the name that we sang about, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, everything that has a name has to be under that name. Every disease is named. It's below the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And so now I've come to the conclusion where I've missed it. It's not like I'm preaching to you and I haven't been over there. I'm telling you now we have to reinforce our covenant. Stand on the grounds of Scripture and thereby walk away from this corridor of anticipation of being sick. Because we have an expectation. Or aging. Listen, there's a benefit in aging. You get to. Here's the benefit in getting old. You get to. Had an opportunity just recently to share with somebody. And I didn't know this. We're contemporaries age-wise. I think maybe younger than I am. And when the person divulged to me what they'd been doing for the last 20 years, I was abhorred. I said, what? He said, I didn't tell anybody, but I've been on this certain medication, you know, for almost 20 years now. And I said, well, why? Well, the doctor said I had to have it. And I said, but what did you do when you said, well, they prescribed it for me. And I said, so you've been laboring through this all these years. And we just started talking. He started weaning himself off of that stuff just by doing the right thing. Guess what happened? He got better by getting off of the stuff and doing the right thing in its place. Are you listening to me? We don't have to because, oh, the doctor said. I've seen them. I may as well stay here. I've seen a shade tree mechanic get to the source of a problem quicker than some of these doctors. There's a man named Arthur Richard. You know, Richard someplace else, but not Richard. Ascension Pastor Richard. And there was an Oldsmobile, Mr. Tebow, one of the richest men in Louisiana, in Donaldsonville, Louisiana. Car dealership, sugarcane, probably owned 100,000 acres. All kinds of businesses. He had a GMC and a Chevrolet dealership. And he had this big, huge mechanic shop, all kinds of stuff. Just everything you can think of back in those days, whatever they needed. But when they couldn't find the source of a problem, just like the Nicodemus in the death of night, they'd ease on over to Mr. Richard's shop and say, could you find this? At nighttime, his son and I were contemporary. We were friends. I know they would do it. And they'd ease that car in a brand new car into his shop, close it up. He'd come out there. And he was a lame man, never forget it. He'd listen to that engine. He'd walk around. He'd poke. And I'm thinking, what is he doing? And one day he got an old piece of hose out. He walked to the engine, took that hose like a stethoscope, and leaned on that engine, stood around. That number three cylinder got a chip in it. Or, you know, number three valve got a chip in it. And they couldn't find it. Every time he'd nail it, he had honed himself without all the machinery. Yeah. Are you listening to me? Yeah. To listen for the right thing and to give the right diagnosis. And I've seen doctors with all this stuff couldn't find something. Yeah. Are you listening to me? It's the same. Listen, and you got somebody on the inside of you. Glory to God, the locator. I can find anything that a doctor can't find if you just trust him. Somebody shout amen here. I'm talking about living out this thing called Christianity in our physical body. Oh, we got heaven made. But how do we live on the earth as an example of God's blessing? We can get there. Can you say amen? Let's make some adjustments and get there. Somebody shout amen here. Yeah, glory to God. Amen. I'm preaching myself happy whether you care or not. All right. Now, but I want to go, because I said this last night. I'm going to jump on over here. I want to talk about this because this helps us. I didn't talk about it, but I'm going to right now. So we ended on Psalms 103, talking about that part of it. So now if we have these iniquities forgiven, like we said in Jesus' day, it was very easy for them to believe, or easier for them to believe that their bodies were healed or could get a healing rather than being sin forgiven. And we said today is exactly the opposite. We got the acceptance of being born again, but sometimes find a difficulty that we can walk in healing. So we flip-flopped that thing from the Old Testament mindset of those people. Now, what's the greatest inhibitor? What prevents us, as it were, from buying into that covenant blessing? Well, we can say it in one word, doubt. Is that not right? And we can jump around this and kind of be easy on you and try to soft pedal it, but I'm not going to do that. Amen? I know you love me and I love you, and I'm not here to harm you. Are you listening to me? I don't want to harm myself. But doubt is an insidious thing that can creep up on you on the blind side. Have you ever been there thinking that you're believing and you're really not? Nobody but me. Yeah. Of course we've been there. And really, because the foundation of our, or the revealer, how do we put this? Yeah. Our profession is the revealing of our heart. Put it that way. What we profess is revealing our heart. Are we confessing what's revealing, what's in our hearts being revealed? Put it that way. And so you can say, because confession has to be true. You can say something and not confess it. Confession is the truth that comes from your belly. I confess the Lord Jesus. People can say that. Paul says nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. Anybody can say, well, Jesus is Lord. What does he mean by that? He means you can't truly say and believe that except by the Spirit of God or make a true profession or confession. So then, I have to come to the same conclusion. I can't just say it because it's there and that's going to take care of it. I got to believe what I said, whatever that benefit is, for me to extract it and benefit from it. Can you say amen? So then, doubt then is the greatest stealer of the blessings of God. Go to Mark chapter 6, if you will, and look at what it says here. Mark chapter 6, and we understand these stories, so we're not going to go into any great depth teaching. That's why I said last night, it's not about a bunch of teaching, all right? We can do that. Let's just sit, go right down where the rubber meets the road, and let's set the word locate us. I'm not doing anything but pointing you to Scripture. And so Scripture is locating you. It's locating me. It's locating where I am. James said this is a mirror. It reflects where I am, and it really reflects where I'm not. It's not a reasonable facsimile. When you look into the Word of God, it's called perfect law of liberty. It's the perfect law of liberty. It's a mirror. When you look down in the water, in a pool or lake, you're not seeing a facsimile. You're seeing exact icon, the exact image, hair out of place and all. Amen? That's what you're seeing. And so the Word of God does the very same thing. It reflects exactly who you are. Really, what you believe and what you've said is proved or not, or disproved by when you look at it, because your heart can smote you if you've espoused something and you don't believe. Are you listening to me? Mark chapter 6. Whew, man. Now we know this story here about this healing. Lord. So just read verse number 6 only, because otherwise I got to teach the thing. I'm not going to teach it. Look at verse number 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. Now, those seem to be disconnected. First of all, he marveled. He was overwhelmed at the level of the magnitude of disbelief. Why? Because these are the people that have the promises in the covenant. We're talking about the Israelites. He marveled at their disbelief. Well, look at what verse number, boom, 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 boom. Where is it? I know it's in here somewhere. Oh, it's right above it. That's verse number 5 that I'm looking for. Look at what it says here. And he could there do no mighty work, save or except that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Now, we run past this to get to verse number 6, and that's understandable because it kind of resolves there. You go back to the fourth verse here. It says the prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. We're just talking about his own town, all right? And among his own kin and in his own house. Well, now he wants to do for them what they need done, all of them. But only a few people got a manifestation of their healing. So let's not minimize the few. Are you listening to me? We can just go, oh, no, he did just no mighty works. Well, to that few was mighty. Are you listening to me? We're not minimizing what they've got, because what they got was what they needed. And guess how they got it? Out of their own presentation of themselves. They elected to go to him and receive, and the rest didn't. Are you listening to me? So we're not going to minimize. That's mighty on their behalf. Thank God for those mighty, a few mighty works. A few people got tremendous works in their lives. We're not minimizing that. If one got healed, that was a mighty work. Only a few of those got it. Somebody shout amen here. But he marveled at the level of their unbelief. Now, look what it says now. And he went around about the villages teaching. Because teaching eradicates the foundation of doubt. Teaching, many people don't know. See, he didn't rake them over the coal, but he marveled at their unbelief. It wasn't the people as such, it was what they did not know, and he realized they did not know, even though they were covenant people. That's why we can't assume. God, Lord, Mary, we can't assume anything. The church can be full week to week. Every service, we can make one assumption that everybody's getting it. Cannot make the assumption. And whatever's necessary, that's exactly what needs to be done to further get them over into the realm of believing. Can you say amen? Because doubt will rob you of covenant blessings that belong to you. Because they belong to you doesn't mean you're going to walk in it. And even to some degree, we walk in it to a measure. So I've come to the conclusion, wherever I'm falling short, I've missed some teaching of Jesus, or some teaching that Jesus taught and the apostles retaught. I'm not implementing, because really, but Chris Saxon, my neighbor that came down, we were duck hunting just recently. And he's got, I'm experimenting with improved cylinder. And he has a full choke modified. He's shooting BBs. And he's shooting mallards, you know, the big and thick mallards. But I'm shooting twos. And he went and patterned his gun. And he said to me, he said, I couldn't quite figure out why. He says, I'm shooting modified. I'm shooting BBs. And he says, I'm shooting. All of a sudden, my kill pattern is just so wide or so narrow at 45 yards, and I'm shooting ducks within 30 yards. And I said, well, you know, I'm experimenting with improved cylinder, and I'm shooting twos. Once I did that, the shots that I was missing, I reconciled that to the fact that I really had a kill zone that was too wide. These duck hunters I'm talking about. And so what happened was, when I was, I'm missing consistently. I don't mean, you know, I mean, I got the lead right, boom. Don't come back. You know? I mean, not even a flinch, you know. Not a tail for nothing. Thinking, and I'm consistently leading right. Once I made that adjustment, I'm confident now. 35, even 40 yards, I'm going to knock that duck, I'm going to hurt him. Bad. But here's the point. I would pull down after shooting so consistently beyond that 35-yard marker because I doubt that I could hit that bird. You understand what I'm saying here? I've already got it in here already. I'm not going to hit that bird. Doubt has overtaken all of my trajectory, all of my leading, doubt canceled everything. I doubt that I can hit that bush, so I won't even try. But not anymore. Wow. He getting hurt. Boom! I still miss every now and then. But I don't have that doubt stop me from trying. Are you listening to me? It will rob you of things that you think you got already taken care of. And the minute I got rid of that doubt, my school, I told Pastor Jesse, you know, I told Brother Preston this morning, I had 5 hunts in Oklahoma this year, a total of 5 ducks. And 3 on one hunt. So yesterday, I mean, when I got here Friday, it took me a while to limber up, but once I limbered up, all my skeet shooting, all my practice, all that was gone because skeets don't change, right? And so the next thing you know, I'm shooting real good. Why is that? Because of consistency, doing the same thing over and over and perfecting it. That's your Christian life. Get in there and do the same thing over and over, that same scripture. Get more understanding on it, implement it, and get the results. Somebody shout amen here. I am convinced that we are living way below the level that we need to as believers in our physical bodies. And it's not that it's not in Scripture. We have the answer. And it's all right here. Somebody shout amen here. Now, go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Hallelujah. This is a centurion. We'll look at another marveling, the centurion's marveling that Jesus marveled at. Actually, we know what happened with the centurion. A man under authority, verse 9 says, you know, so his servant was healed. Look at verse number 10. When Jesus heard it, in other words, you know, just speak the word only. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Same thing. Same thing. He marveled and said to them that followed, surely or verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. He marveled at unbelief, and now he marvels at belief. The magnitude of their unbelief overwhelmed by the magnitude of his belief. Not even having a, well, he's a believer, so yeah, but he's not a covenant man from the Old Testament. He's a Gentile who believes. That kind of bodes good for you and I, doesn't it? In other words, yeah, I can tap into the promises of God, not based upon ethnicity, not based upon creed or culture, based upon the word of God alone. And when I do that, I get the same benefits that that Jew would have gotten had they accepted the faith. Somebody shout amen here. So then I don't have any restrictions whatsoever to believe the word of God. It's equally applicable to me as to anybody else. Is that not right? Now, so what is doubt? It's apistia, A-P-I-S-T-I-A. Pistis is the Greek word for faith. I don't want to get into teaching, Lord. It's without faith. Just being without faith. Being without hope. Being, you know, hopeless. That's what doubt says. You have no hope again. I had no hope of hitting that duck. I got this in place here. That duck is beyond my range. Well, I've got an adjustment to make, and I made that adjustment and compensated for that. Now the doubt is displaced. The compensation is the word of God to eradicate the doubt out of your heart by the teaching of the word of God. That's why Jesus said, wow, he marveled at their unbelief and went around the villages teaching. And so I commend anyone who takes the word of God, disseminates the information therein to the people who have need of it. In other words, we can preach people happy, but we better teach them to maturity. Can you say amen? Because you can get happy and just get all warm and fuzzy and still miss the blessings of God. Anybody ever been there? I know I have. Thank God those days are gone forever. I still get happy, glory to God, and I still shout. I still run. But when I settle down, what thus saith the Lord, can I now take away from this? Can you say amen? So then, Scripture implies things. Lord, I don't want to go. That's called implicit. It implies certain things. Then it's explicit. It explains certain things. Wherever it's implied, it's somewhere explained. This particular subject of healing is implied and explicit all over the Bible. That and faith. But faith, relegated to the life of faith in the Old Testament, is really sparse. You don't think that when you think of all the miracles, but it's sparse. The life of faith is really in the New Testament. So faith is always there. People that operated in the gift of faith and this, it's there. But healing is not subject literally to dispensations. It's throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. It's embedded. It's hard to miss the fact that God wants you to walk in healing. When he calls himself Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee. I'm not the God that misses it every now and then. The God that healeth thee. So if I'm not healed, and of course his work is done on Calvary's cross, I'm not implementing that. I'm not walking in that. It's not on his end. I've got to figure that out. I got environmental impact. I got dietary impact. I got all kinds of mistakes that I make. I've got sleep deprivation. A rested body is a well body. I know Jesse was talking about, and he lead the other day said to me, he said, "Man, I get up at 2:30 every morning." I said, "What?" I sat on that deck, on that dock the other day, and I watched that whole operation. Now I got there. When I got there, man, yeah, I'm reaching up to get on the boat. Got my gun, it's 4:45, 5:30. Let's go hunt. But folks been up since 2:30, doing stuff. Are you listening to me? Making things from him. Boom, boom. Gassing up vehicles. Making some. Boom. And now we go hunt. We get back. Brother Jesse said, he said, "Now the work begins. We got 90 ducks." You know? He says, "Watch it thin out." And folks start. And there are three men. Actually, Jack was there. And Lee was there. Pastor was there. And Chad, I'm looking, and it just wrote, boom, 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 talking from my finger. I look back at those ducks. I took a picture of them. I said, they won't even fill my frame. You got to clean all these ducks? It got thinner by one. I guess I better get on too. No, I hung around just to watch. And I said this to Charlotte when she came. I said, "This is a massive operation. It's massive." The behind-the-scenes thing. Well, that'll take a toll on your body. Mm-hmm. So you got to, when the time comes, you got to put her down. Yes. Somebody shout amen here. Yes. The thing about it, us like that, you know, I said this years ago, you heard me. 45 days a year average, me and Sister Evelyn sleep in no bed at all. Between 12 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning, we're on a plane, we're on the road, we're on somewhere en route, someplace, no bed. Hundreds of days, other beds. Our own bed, very few times. Well, my prayer life can't be consistent like yours. I can't get up at 6 every morning because 6 every morning I might be in the bed because I just got in the bed at 4. And so I've got to have a method and a routine to compensate for my scheduling. Now, here's the challenge, though. When that scheduling gives me a gap, I cannot stay in that same mode. Are you listening to me? I've got to shut her down and learn to cap it off and rest this body. Are you getting what I'm talking about here? That's my part. All of a sudden, I'm run down and say, "Well, God's going to take care of me." Well, he will. But if you just keep doing that, guess what? You're burning the candle on both ends. It's going to meet in the middle. At some point or another, it's crash city for you. I've learned through the years to not go there. Well, last week, 2 weeks ago, we were on vacation. I'm thinking, glory to God, we're on vacation. I'll do it. My duck hunting. And one of those westerners came and blew my fence down. I'm talking about a part of it. And that's about 40 feet of fence. And I'm tired of every 3 years renewing it with those round posts. So I went and got the big square treated post. And it's a bit silly. You guys, you know, you'd have to have your parka and your nose wrapped up. Glory to God. It was, you know, about 24 degrees. I'm out there with them, digging holes and, you know. Well, what choice do I have? I can go pay a whole bunch of money to get it done. And they're going to put me on the calendar for another week or two. I don't have a week or two. My fence is down. Okay? So I got to go and do it. Well, my vacation is spent putting the fence up. Well, guess what? Thank God it didn't happen when I wasn't there. I got to see the grace in this. Turn this thing around. Are you listening to me? When it's dished up to you, turn it around. Make it positive. And your heart won't smote you. Somebody shout amen. We got her done. Sitting my community coffee, looking at my fence. I mean, look at that. Glory. Look at that fence there. Best fence in the neighborhood. But it was a lot of sweat, a lot of tears. And guess what? Once I did that, I still went back and relaxed. Rest your body. I said, rest your body. I don't care what your pace is, what your schedule is, rest your body. Amen. Well, I just preached at you and I didn't mean to, but glory. Yes, I did. All right. Go to Mark chapter 9. Hallelujah. Boy, we got to wind this thing down. I'm still on page 2. Lord, what y'all doing to me? Mark chapter 9. Now this is where I wanted to get last night. I didn't want to get too preachy. Just wanted to be sure that we're looking and doing what we need to do to get our part of it done. Mark chapter 9. Because you might say, well, brother, you know, because I've had this happen. Well, you know, brother, you're in the Word. You teach the Word. You got all that stuff. And, you know, you preachers. And that's not a preacher thing. This book wasn't written to preachers. It's written about preachers many times, but it ain't written to preachers. It's talking about these epistles or the living letters to the Lord's husbandry. That's you. Can you say amen? And he says you are God's garden. Hallelujah. And he loves you enough to write to you on the same level he'd write to anybody.
Thank you, Father.
And that's not exclusive. So then, when I find a scripture, and you find a scripture, it has mutual applicability.
Yeah.
Absolutely mutual. Now, having said that, so we're not all at the same level in faith. So look at what it says here in 9:24. And verse number 23. We know the story, talking about the child. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. God, you got to get here. I believe, but there's some area I need more. Help me. And you see, that's where the teaching comes in. See, this man, this is one of the most honest replies in the whole Bible.
Yeah,
I believe this going. I believe. But where I can't believe, Lord, help me. And many times we find ourselves there. I mean, I don't talk about anybody about this but our board, and very infrequently with them, but our budget. I don't talk to anybody about that. I've got to believe for that budget, you know what I mean? And sometimes that budget looks like, whoo! I want to say, help my unbelief, Lord. I'm right here, get me over. In other words, you better be honest with yourself. That's called authentic disclosure. It's not lying to somebody. It's conscience won't let you lie. Well, I believe. But do you? And the way you can't believe, get in the teachings of the Word of God so that you can believe more. He said, help thine my unbelief. Because I don't want unbelief to slam the part that I do believe. I want it to be working negatively back toward me. I want to be going forward. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
So then, wherever you might say, we got to be careful here because many times we see these great testimonies and watch these TV programs and somebody got out of a wheelchair, and we've had it happen. That happened to, you know, the Wrights that were here, Anthony Wright. And the last time that happened, it was happening in this church. Man had been in a wheelchair 28 years. Got up, got out. I told you about it. Walked, me and Anthony. Actually, I walked with him. I called Anthony, come and walk with him. Church exploded. Well, I dare not say there was somebody in that church the next week in a wheelchair that didn't get up. We can't all of a sudden cookie stamp the conditions, because if we did it, we would have copyrighted it, glory to God, and we would have merchandised it, we would have promoted it, which some tried to do. They hijacked the word of God. Are you listening to me? And make it, well, because you can't believe, well, now all of a sudden you don't have enough faith. Now you're getting under punishment. That is not God. Amen. I don't know why he got out of the chair and the next one I laid hands on didn't. I don't know why. But I know that day the spirit of faith showed up and that man was ready and that man got up. I don't know why in Uvalde, Texas, 94, an unbeliever got healed of 4 stages of cancer, was ready to die within 7 days, and others since that time I prayed for didn't make it. I don't know why in Nowata, Oklahoma, 4 years ago, I laid hands on a man I'd never seen before, and the man was healed and still healed today. I saw him last year. Told he's dead. He can't even get out of his car. He's just got stuff running all out of his nose. But he's living today. But yet, I laid hands on Lila McClure, a 35-year friend of ours, and she left here. I can't question that. I don't understand that, you know? I'm not going to punish people talking about you don't have enough faith. I don't know why that is, but I know this. I'll never stop preaching healing. I'll never stop teaching healing. I'll never stop laying hands on the sick. I'll never stop professing that he is the God that healeth thee. Because he is. Somebody shout amen. But as for me, I'm going to do my part to stop messing up the plan that he had for me to walk in straight hell. Now, if you're not careful, you standardize yourselves by yourselves. Paul said that's not wise. Because I'm a spry 71-year-old, and I'm spryer than most 71-year-olds. All of a sudden, I think I'm at the pinnacle of my success. Well, I remember I was running 10Ks. I was 42 at the time. And this my last 10K I'd run was basically I'd run the best time of my life. And it was the Jimmy Stewart 10K in Los Angeles, and he was the Grand Marshal. Got to meet Jimmy Stewart, great man, before he got to pass. And I ran that race, man, boy, I looked, oh, whoa. And the next time I was out training for my next race, I got to get up and said, man, I'm way ahead. I must have. And a little lady came by me. Good morning. I said, hi. I said, how you doing? I said, I was doing fine, dude. You showed up. Matter of fact, I thought I had it going on. She said, well, have a good day. And left me. I mean, just left. Tap, tap, tap. I'm thinking, what's this? Well, that was 10 years ago, so I grew up 10 years ago. Well, 3 years ago, I'm running in Corpus Christi. I know I got this one, man. It's a relay marathon. I only got 6 miles to go, and I'm rolling, rolling. And I hear this, chick, 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 chick. I can see. I'm chick, 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 chick. I didn't want to look. Because it got louder. Chick, chick, chick. Pretty soon I looked over there. If he wasn't 90, he wasn't a day old. Chick, 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 chick. Yeah, chick, 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 chick. Right on by the brother. See, that'll deflate you. That'll keep your feet on the ground. Amen. Yeah. My time is relative. Glory to God. I run within me. No, you can't standardize yourselves by yourselves. That is not wise. Don't put your healing up against somebody else's healing, what they got and what you didn't get. Somebody say amen here. And don't you let those instruments eradicate and pull your faith away. Let them measure what they say. It's this and it's that. Well, yeah, that's what it is. But I'm going to elevate the truth over that. I'm going to elevate the truth over that fact. And the truth is, I'm healed. I'm going to walk toward it as if I already got it. Yeah. Somebody shout glory here. Because when you do, heaven, we said last time, will sprinkle those rewards at you on the right track. And for, if you weren't here last night, I was talking about we were coughing a lot. And I couldn't even preach coughing until I got there to the place and got in the pulpit. Not one cough. That happened in Birmingham last March. Happened in South Holland last March. Happened in Dallas, Iowa, 10, 15 years ago. Could not even talk, but got in the pulpit and preached without a cough. That's the Tibbetts. The Lord is saying you're on the right path. Yeah, you can't. You get out of the pulpit, you still can't talk. But when you got in there, you did. You're on the right path. Don't turn loose of your faith. Hold fast to your profession of faith. I don't care what it is. I don't care who says this. Hold fast to the word of God. Somebody shout amen here. We're talking about healing as a reality. We've got one more scripture. We're going to let this thing go here. Pick it up tonight. Now, I said this. Now, I've been trying to get to it since we started. Our part, I'm going to title this, Our Part in Part. Our Part in Part. What is that? Our part in part is to say about us what God says about us. Not what you think, but what God says about us. Can you say amen? Now, and some things we should say and not say. Go to Joel's gospel, Joel chapter 3. And we're not going to, we can't go very much further than this because our time's getting away from us. Don't want to keep you guys over here just because we want to make a point. Amen? Amos was there. Joel. All right. Where are you? Obadiah. He was a minor prophet, so he's in here somewhere, right? He's in front of or behind. Where is he? He's coming. There you go. How could it be? Right behind you. Hosea. Chapter 3. Ah, rah, 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 rah. Verse number, oh, that's two. I want to know why. Chapter 3, verse number 10. There we go. Number 10. Now, we're not going to deal with contextually, but I'm just going to read this. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. So we could say, let the sick say, I am healed. You say about you what God says about you. You profess what the Lord says about you. Psalms 118, just write it down, look it up. 118, 14, the Lord is my strength and my song and my salvation. That's what you say. You don't start talking about anything other than what the Lord says and what he is to you, what you are to him. What do we not say? Isaiah 33. And we're going to end on this one. This is a hard one to swallow. If it wasn't scripture, it'd be some proverbial thing that you can throw aside. But I didn't say it. No writer of a proverb other than in the biblical sense. Man, Isaiah 33. Look at verse number 24. He says, an inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. You can take the rest of it, but I just want you to look at that. The inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. Are we in denial? And we're not talking about denial. We're elevating truth over fact, remember? But the sick, just, well, I'm sick. Guess what happened? I practiced that when I was a county employee in Los Angeles, not serving God. If I felt like going fishing, I called him, I'm sick today. That can never happen to anybody in here. Glory to God, all you spiritual people. Amen. Uh-huh. I called him, I'm sick today because I had 12 days that I could use for sick days. I wasn't sick one day of them. When I left Los Angeles County, they paid me for hundreds of sick days. But if I wanted to go fishing, I didn't want to be paid. I had 3 days I considered this as a P day. 1980, I got involved in the things of God. I never called in and said that one time. I use P days, so I've got a personal day, and incidentally, I am not sick. See, it's getting your conversation right. Yeah. You literally have to affirm your heart's position as he's thinking in his heart, so is he. Let the inhabitant say, I am not sick. Didn't say you weren't coughing, didn't say you didn't have a temperature, didn't say you, but the bottom line is simply this. I'm elevating who I am and the covenant that I have over this factual thing that you're looking at evidently. I'm not going to go around, I'm sick. I am not sick. And I'm not going to say it. That will get you on the road to affirming every embedded principle and promise in the covenant. Can you say amen? Let's stand. Father, I thank you this morning for the simplicity, yet the power and potency of the scripture concerning healing. Not traditional shouting at people, not commanding them, not making them feel guilty for not walking in what we see in scripture. We've all been there. And to some degree, there are appointments ahead that we'll walk in that. But to the degree to which I understand the Word of God and my responsibility toward it, I'm making an affirmation of my faith. I believe that you are the God that healed me. And I lean on that covenant truth above every circumstance that I see, every circumstance that I feel, everything that I walk in, that my body screams at me. I, Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the spirit of life over the spirit of death. I thank you for this opportunity to buy into the word of God and believe what you said and confess it with my mouth. Hallelujah and amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. You're born.